good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja. Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I'm here with Wendy Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
So we had a fun day yesterday. We did a lot of things, and I know also radio-wise, we had Rutherford Falls on, and you can catch that on our podcast and iTunes, Native Roots Radio, or on StreamYard. We had a really good time interviewing the cast of Rutherford Falls yesterday. So
Yeah, lots of fun.
And we're going to have David Kenoyer. We're going to have a little discussion in a little bit, in a few seconds here, Wendy.
Fantastic.
We're going to have David Kenoyer talk about the news and just check in. As you know, we're pretty laid back here. So we've had a few weird things happen around us. Do you want to just throw out some prayers?
First I want to send a heartfelt condolences and our prayers to family and friend of the two workers who were killed today when a construction trench collapsed here in St. Paul near the Ford Parkway site where they're building the Highland Bridge complex. So it was a terrible accident that happened, and we've heard, you know, sirens and helicopters here all afternoon, and I just can't stop, you know, feeling horrible and about that. So I just want to throw that out there, just send prayers for everybody involved. I do want to thank everybody, too, who came out yesterday to Native Roots Trading Post. We had a benefit event for the Line 3 Defense Fund. It was called Music for the Movement. We got a lot of good donations, so I want to thank everybody who came out and did that. I want to send a special thanks to Alice and Tom, who were there and spent the afternoon listening to good music and eating fry bread. So it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of purchases, and we were able to
donate
a lot of money to them. So, woohoo.
Yeah. And don't forget those prairie dogs. And I want to give a shout out to Laurel's father for making all that food. Just a great job. But hey, let's have David Kenoyer jump in and let's talk a little bit, have a little conversation and talk news. Thanks for stopping in, David.
Hey, good to see you both. Sorry to hear that news from St. Paul. That's a giant construction. I haven't seen what lately, but they've got so many different things planned there. What a big week in news, huh, Robert and Wendy? I mean, where do you want to start? You got climate change.
Yeah.
You got a stock market that's a bear market now. Gas prices keep staying high. I drove past a Costco today, and I was like, I'm not waiting in that line. There was, you know, maybe 8-9 cars behind each pump.
Did you notice how much the gas was at Costco?
I didn't even look. I had to run in there to buy my Father's Day barbecue grill. take care of myself, Wendy. And then I ran in and ran out, and made the pain short at Costco. But politics, right? Some of us tuned into the January 6th committee hearings, which, you know, I think a lot of us thought they'd be kind of snoozers. Been there, done that. We know what the story is. But wow, we keep getting more details, right, about a pardon list that this conservative lawyer John Eastman asked about, the same lawyer who was pushing the president to, you know, keep pushing the stop the steal nonsense that had no basis in fact. And at the same time, he's telling, you know, folks, oh, yeah, we might get a couple Supreme Court justices. He's telling others, oh, no, we're going to lose 9-0 on this. And then he's asking, you know, subtly appears to be asking to put on the pardon list for the president before he leaves office a few days after January 6th, right? Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy stuff here in Minnesota. Go ahead.
Am I to think, like, if I was to get on your pardon list, I would be, like, guilty of something, right?
Well, that's what it suggests. Of course, it's not a smoking gun, but yes. Mm-hmm. The problem with the preemptive pardons that the press has written about, that some of the Trump administration wanted, right, was they were blanket. They weren't specific enough. You needed to be pardoned for some, you know, guilty or some conviction, right? Well, these guys didn't even have one thing in mind. There must have been maybe more than one going on.
Exactly. I saw today somebody posted that Trump tweeted that he's so upset about this that he wants equal time.
Where did he tweet that from? He's not on Twitter.
That's exactly right. But he did. He put it out on social media that he's upset about it and he wants equal time. Yeah, so they could put him under oath and he could lie.
Yeah, he apparently gave a speech today attacking former Attorney General Bill Barr, who had some pretty devastating testimony, right, that the committee played in their first hearing, basically calling, you know, Trump's idea that the election was stolen or that the votes weren't legit as, you know, BS. And Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, saying, hey, I believe Bill Barr calling this nonsense before I believe my own dad. Yeah. And then Trump today went after, of course, Mike Pence, who he was trying to get to exercise some sort of authority that Pence said he didn't have to overturn the whole electoral count. And Pence is turning into being, you know, a very quiet hero in all of this by sticking to his guns and refusing to do that.
Well, that just shows, David, and not knowing enough about how the politics works is how fragile this government really is.
It is. There was a Washington Post editorial about, or column today about this, and what the judge that testified yesterday basically said that, right? That, you know, there's evidence that crimes were committed, you know, by the president, President Trump, that this is an attack on democracy, right? And where's the rest of the Republican Party aside from Liz Cheney on the committee, right? Who's actually making history in her own way, but who else is calling this into question? Not too many people.
They're not. No. It's really sad. It is.
Well, David, we've got a couple more minutes. What else you got for us?
Well, look, here in Minnesota, right, we're not going to have apparently a special session because the two parties can't even agree on anything, right? So billions of dollars are going to sit in the bank, this surplus of up to $9 billion that somehow came to Minnesota state coffers during the COVID pandemic is not going to get spent with all the need in the state, right?
Right.
Potholes, infrastructure,
education,
homelessness,
teacher salaries, inequalities, right? So many things that we could be investing in. Early childhood, right?
Right.
They apparently cut out in the money that they did give that those frontline workers, they did agree to spend some of that money, but they cut out home child providers, family, friend, and neighbor providers. So they were not eligible for this frontline worker pay that was necessary for people who stayed in business during COVID, right? So that the whole operation could keep going. So we're not going to give these child care providers any kind of frontline worker pay. So I don't know what that says to people taking care of our kids so that other people can go to work.
Right.
They're part really of the sad economy thing. Too.
And there's nobody who wants to work. So, I mean, just let's take more people out of the workforce.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story there. But yeah, it's things too that they promised, David and Wendy, that the Republicans promised to vote on are now reneging on. And I don't know. I know this is a progressive. We're on progressive radio stations all over Turtle Island. And it's just to me, it's like, what the heck do the Republicans stand for? I have no idea.
Well, right now, right, it's oppositional. So no one wants to give anybody credit for getting anything done. And we'll see at the federal level, right, if the Senate really does have some sort of deal on more reasonable common sense gun restrictions. I don't know if gun control is quite the answer, right? But right. the red flags and so forth, if you've been convicted of domestic violence, you know, those sorts of, you would think, common sense things. We'll see if that can get done. But here in the state of Minnesota, they're calling the governor's race now a toss-up.
Wow.
maybe not all of Tim Walz's problems, but certainly the party and the state of the, you know, the state of the country and the party and power. The president often gets blamed for that. So we've seen this, the memes with the gas prices and blaming Biden for gas prices, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that could trickle down and hurt the ticket, the Walz-Flanagan ticket in Minnesota.
Well, let's hope not. Hey, David, thanks for stopping in and giving your perspective of the news, what's going on all over Turtle Island. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Father's Day.
You too. We'll be right back after this short break with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, it is Fun Friday, and we have State Senator Mary Kunish on here. We're excited to have her on, and, you know, it sounds like she's got a little puppy or a little baby in the background, and we're always, that was a growl. The baby's growling now.
That was a growl. She's a funny girl. She makes lots of noises. She kind of sounds like a little Tyrannosaurus Rex a lot of the time, too.
That's awesome. So, State Senator, how are you doing? We just had a great piece by David Knoyer talking a little bit about the failures of the Senate and the legislature to spend in a good way those billions of dollars. I know you were right in the middle of that, and in a good way, you know. And a question I asked him is, what are the Republicans even for? You know, geez.
Well, that's a really good question. I think they are for not spending any money, putting all the money back into the people's pocket, except that they want to make sure that their corporation, the big corporations and those sort of folks that empower them as a political party and individually, that they're getting all the big breaks. You know, they want that minimum governmental interference, but at the same time, you know, they want to take advantage of good schools and safe roads, safe communities, parks, and all of that stuff. But you know, it just befuddles me that that they don't want to use the dollars that we have. I mean, we have this surplus; their money's sitting there. I got a letter today from one of the school districts that I represent, and they were saying, look, we are already laying teachers off for next year. Our class sizes are going to have to grow. We don't have the resources to address so much of what we have now. Please go back, finish the session out, and you know, allot some of those dollars to the schools and to education. And so I responded, you know, that I'm ready to go. You know, $30 million to a literacy program is not a plan to help our schools. And one of the other senators, Republicans, said, well, basically, she said, well, we gave you all money last time, and this isn't a budget year, so we shouldn't, there's no big deal. We shouldn't have to come back. And one of the Republicans made in a comment yesterday, you know, like, well, if we don't do anything this year, it's not like it's Armageddon or anything. But my response to that is, for those teachers that are going to go back to even larger class sizes, less resources available, especially when it comes to like mental health and English learners and our special ed kiddos and transportation. Can you imagine how much it is going to cost to get the schools, the kids to and fro from school? Think of rural Minnesota, where they drive hundreds of miles every day, you know, hours before the sun is up, hours after the sun is down, to get kids to school and back. And the Republicans are just not going to come back. They say that we Democrats have different spending priorities than they do. We want to spend the money in all the good places. They just want to give tax breaks to the rich and put the money back in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really have to call them out. You know, it was also reported today that the governor's race is a dead heat. Now, how in the heck is that happening with this upside down world? I mean, you know, are we blaming the governor, lieutenant governor, on high gas, you know, all these things that are happening in the economy?
Who knows what, how they responded to COVID. There could be so many things. Pipeline, but I mean, it's, you know, whatever.
We got someone that's running for lieutenant governor that proves that, you know, you don't have to be smart to go to Harvard and or Notre Dame. Where was he? Oh, he went to Harvard. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor who's an anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the heck?
I know. It's just, it's the most bizarre thing. And honestly, we had a taste of what that was like for 4 years. God. And it turned this world upside down, literally upside down. Minnesota absolutely does not need that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know. We're going to be starting soon on Tuesdays coming up in July. Native Roots Radio is going to present Rock the Vote. And hope, Mary, you can be involved. And we're really going to push out all our allies, all our Native people running for office, and really get the word out there and motivate our people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always important. Everybody will say this is the most important race of our lifetime or whatever. But what I find most important is that we are getting people out to vote, that they understand that they have that right. It's not just, you know, their tribal government that they can vote in. It's these kind of decisions from the governor to the lieutenant governor to our auditor to our secretary of state to our attorney general. All of these positions are up for election this year. And as I've said always, look at who's representing you now. And if you don't feel that they are doing the best job possible, look at, you know, who the candidates are and who you can support. And if you don't find somebody that really meets the ticket, then you go ahead and vote. I mean, or you run for office. That's kind of also one of the reasons I ended up, because we heard, you know, over and over again, if you don't like who's representing you, do something about it. And I did. I did like who was representing me in a lot of the ways. But when the opportunity arose, you know, I took advantage of it. And here I am.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness, a lot of good things and a lot of good knowledge come up because of you, Jamie Becker Finn, the Lieutenant Governor, and Heather Keeler, that people in the houses, whether allies or not, don't even know or care about. So to amplify what Natives, BIPOC people really need and representing them is so, so important, Mary.
It is very true, because you need people that have those life experiences. You need people that know what it's like to, take public assistance, or haven't had health care and a major situation has arisen. You know, I just was listening to a report the other day on the radio about, we're all just a health crisis away from bankruptcy.
Yep.
You know, how quickly your life can turn upside down by, a fate of ill health. And I mean, this is America. We shouldn't be having these kind of problems. People shouldn't have to lose everything because they had an illness or a catastrophe.
Well, and you hit it on the head, and I just saw a Bernie speech, and Wendy and I are big Bernie fans, and he's been saying the same stuff for 40 years, but we are the richest country in the world, not the second or third. We are the richest country in the world, and we can't take care of our people want to.
And people stay in miserable jobs just because their health care, and they can't move around to find a job that they really care about and want to do, because they're stuck in this job because it offers health care. How crazy is that?
Oh, I know. When I was a teacher, I had a teaching assistant. She worked only for the insurance. When she got a paycheck, yes, if she had a few dollars left over after paying her family's insurance fee, she was lucky. And her husband had lost his business in the recession, and he had health issues, and she liked her job and she loved working with me, but there was no way to get ahead, because she worked enough to get everything that they needed paid for that. And I don't know if you all heard, but coming down from the federal government, Minnesota is now one of the states that has extended the maternity leave or the maternity coverage after giving birth if you are on Medicare. So in the past, it was just you had like 30 days extended coverage, and now they've expanded it to a full year, because and especially for Native women and for our African-American women, they have the highest rates of infant and maternal mortality than any other group of people. And here we have so many women that, worked through their pregnancy, oftentimes really stressful, hard jobs, and then, had to go right back to work. And that's not good for the mother. That's not good for the child. And so that is one good thing that has happened. But that came down from the federal government, and Minnesota agreed to that. So that was one good thing.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. We'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunis. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Minnesota, this is Tom Hartman. Catch me during your lunchtime on AM 950 from 11 to 2. Find more information and the live stream at am950radio.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblatt. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblatt from Shamblatt Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ShamblattFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at VinaigretteMN.com.
No matter what vehicle you drive, for quality care, head to Rudy Luther Toyota and get service you can trust. My last service at Rudy Luther, I got to experience the incredibly cool Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. It checked my CNS alignment and tire treads as I drove into the service area. Done! I got a thumbs up in the comfort of knowing my vehicle is good to go. Get maintenance you can trust and check out the service specials at RudyLutherToyota.com. For your vehicle service, it's Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
2022 continues to be a hot real estate market, and any advantage you gain could net you thousands of dollars. If you do plan to move at some point, installing a system from All Energy Solar could increase your resale value and help you sell your home faster. Energy costs will not be going down anytime soon, so a property with a solar energy system could make it much more attractive to potential buyers. Buyers consider electric bills when buying a home, and installing solar panels is viewed as an upgrade. Each kilowatt of solar energy could increase the resale value of your home by thousands of dollars. And even when you sell your home, you'll likely recoup the cost of switching to solar thanks to your increased property value. So if you plan to sell your home, make your home as attractive as possible to buyers by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 61, then increasing clouds on Saturday with a high of 82. Be ready for summer's heat with a cool deal from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Right now, take $850 off a new AC or ductless unit with payments as low as $65 a month. Go to standardheating.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunesh, on, and we're talking a little politics and a little baby talk and how the baby sounds like a little bear. And but we were ending that segment, State Senator, and you were talking a little bit about some good news that came down the federal pipeline, and then you guys accepted. Do you want to just bring that up just a little bit again? Because I know it was just we were cutting you off there on the end.
Oh, sure. So what has happened is that new moms in a handful of new states, and Minnesota is one of them, I believe Maine, New Mexico, and Washington, D.C., now have had their Medicare coverage expanded a full year postpartum. So after having had their baby, rather than having to go right back to work in order to assure that they have health care or those sort of things, at least 15,000 low-income women are now going to be able to stay in Medicaid beyond the 60 days that were allowed before. And that's going to make a huge, we're hoping it will make a huge difference in reducing the high rates of maternal mortality and infant mortality, especially among our Native women and our Black women. And, you know, many of these women work lower income jobs or really stressful jobs. And so right up to their birth and then post-birth, they seem to be most susceptible to complications and mortality, both by their newborn and the mom. So this is going to give the mom more opportunity to stay home, to get covered by the Medicare for a longer amount of time. And with that Medicare, hopefully come some other resources, like maybe a nurse coming home, you know, to their home to visit, to check in and support them if they're nursing or struggling with nursing, or making sure they have all the resources or the items that are needed for the baby. So it's going to be a good thing. And I'm hoping that it will make a difference in Minnesota's the infant and mother mortality rate.
Yeah. I'm old enough to remember, Wendy and Mary, that we kept our mothers in the hospital after giving birth like 3-4 days, and now they shuffle them out in one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do. I know.
I remember my mom saying the very best thing about having a baby are those days in the hospital, and how the nurses used to bring them hot chocolate and cinnamon toast before bed and would rub their, you know, shoulders and their feet if they were uncomfortable. And, you know, it sounded like, yeah, I'll go have a baby if I can get somebody to do that for
me. Wow. It's incredible. And, you know, Robert, also when we were kids, our moms were able to stay home.
Right.
You know, a single income was enough to support a family, and that's not how it is anymore.
No, we talk about what happened to the middle class, and, you know, Reagan started getting rid of unions and deregulating and all these things, and it's been a slow, instead of trickle-down economics, it's been a trickle-up, and even back then, taxes to the 1% were so much higher than they are now, and again, this is the Republicans doing it to us, and we have to let people know this, because a lot of people, like our kids, didn't live through the fact that when you graduated in the 70s from high school, you could basically have a part-time job in the summer to pay for your college. Now it's like take out two school loans, Mary and Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took me a long time to pay my student loans, and it definitely had an impact on like my financial stability or my ability to, sort of create that generational wealth or that security. And now with the way that my 401k is headed, I'm a little bit nervous, you know, maybe I'll go back to teaching or something, but you know, we'll make it through. We always do.
Right. Well, I've always said too, if I have to go back to teaching, I will always go back as an EA.
Yeah.
Just to be with the kids and do that and not have all those BS meetings and all that crap that we did as teachers. I would go back to as a paraprofessional. But that's something I wanted to say to you too, Mary, and you've experienced this, and Wendy has secondhand. Why are we paying so little to our paras that are boots on the ground? That's just mind-blowing, you know, to me.
Yeah, I have had a problem with that for many, many years. And these are men and women who come in and really kind of keep the school running in so many different ways, whether they are helping us with remedial education for students. You know, they build those incredible relationships with our students. And oftentimes when there's a student that has like, you know, maybe an emotional issue or is having a meltdown, they are the ones that can reach that child and help them kind of bring it back together. And what it's not just their salaries that are, you know, not are not paid well, but, you know, they are not able to collect unemployment during the summer, the non-school year, months of the non-school. So they can't, you know, like a contractor or a construction person or something like that, when the weather turns too cold to work, they just go on unemployment and they can, sit through the summer. But in Minnesota, that isn't the way it is for our educational assistants or paraprofessionals. And so we have been fighting in the state legislature. We Dems have been fighting really hard to get them on that unemployment role. But again, we're getting a huge pushback, and we want to make sure that not only are these people paid a fair wage with good benefits such as health insurance and safe sick pay and that sort of thing, but we want to make sure that they're going to come back in the fall. So right. What better way than to help them out during the summer? And then say, see you in the fall. And I've just been appalled by that for many years, and we're working on getting that changed.
Wow. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. And
isn't it the same for the bus drivers as well? They don't get paid either during the,
I'm not sure, but it makes sense.
And it really depends on the, you know, if you're union or you're not union, mm-hmm. and what the contract is with your your bus drivers. There might be some that do, but then they probably perform some, you know, summer school bus driving or field trips for this or that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, and by doing something like that, because I remember a friend of mine who worked on the barges for many years, and he would be off all winter because the river was frozen back in the day, and get unemployment and a big chunk of dough, and we can't even get our workers who are in schools that aren't really making that much money to get so keep working on that, Mary. That's awesome that you're doing that, and that you know that with your experience in schools, and to help not only the paras that are there now, but to also get paras that possibly want to become teachers and go to the next level. But you can, if you're struggling with a full-time job and then a part-time job working in a restaurant or whatever, which we know a lot of people did over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I finally graduated with my teaching degree at the ripe age of 35, I was a single mom, and I was doing daycare during the day and working at banquets, you know, on the weekends, and going to school on the weekends. I did it. And sometimes they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but I don't wish that on anybody. I was able to do that, and it worked out for me, but it doesn't always work out for everybody. And I had good help, you know, with my kids and whatnot, but we should just not have to make things harder for people. I don't, that's what I don't get, is like, if we have the ability to help people or make somebody's life, quality of life better, why wouldn't we? Right. And because it costs money is really the bottom line. There are people that don't want to do that.
And the whole big thing about being native and being spiritually fit is that you know, realize at one point in your life that you're not going to take that money with you. You're hoarding money, as like I'm hoarding baseball cards here that Wendy doesn't know about from the 70s and 60s, Wendy. But they're hoarding money, and it's a selfish act. And it's just like, that's not how us as natives want to and do live. And if you are, you're colonized if you're doing that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, there's always something cooking over there at the Capitol. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same in every other state. But this week I got to do a really cool thing. I got to go out to Denver, Colorado to a conference for youth with disability and talk about how we can support youth, especially making that transition from like a high school to a secondary education and learning, you know, a skill. You know, there are plenty of our young folks that, you know, have a disability, but that doesn't mean that they aren't, you know, wouldn't make incredible engineers or computer tech folks or a state representative or senator or a radio host, you know? There are many barriers that we need to remove. But I met some really cool young kids, a couple young adult native folks, and just really impressed with the way that they are advocating not only for themselves but for others.
Wow, yeah, that's good to do those things. State Senator Mary Kunish, we are always so pleased to have you on and just to check in and chat about just things. So I appreciate you being on.
You bet. I missed you guys last week. Sorry I missed it.
Yeah,
no problem. But hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was State Senator Mary Kunish. Up next, Fun Facts Friday with our Sacred Animal section with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at
651-304-9986. This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wendy's got the controls there, I see.
I do. We got the wolf controls. That's right.
Exactly. Wow. Hey, I want to reintroduce Wendy, the co-host of Native Roots Radio, and we talk about our animal section here, which are sacred animals, and on Fridays we do fun facts. So I'm ready here, Wendy, with all the stuff that you've sent me to post. So
great.
So take it away.
Awesome. Hey everybody, my name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And I'm here today to talk about fun animal facts. And I got these facts from one of our listeners, Robert. Yeah, so wow. I sometimes get messages and emails sometimes about what I maybe should talk about. So I just share. She sent me two things that I should talk about, and I think that they're fantastic. And they're about animals that were in the war and have like honor, like Purple Hearts. It's really amazing. So I'm going to bring that up in just a minute. Did you know, I didn't know this, I just learned this today. Remember earlier today we were saying, Robert, we learn something new every day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is something I've learned.
Pectum.
Pectum, yeah. Yes. They were telling us that the jam the jam was not vegan because it had pectin in it. Oh. And we had to look up pectin and make sure because, you know, I was really? Oh, I thought it was, but maybe I was wrong. But ooh, it is plant-based, so we didn't have to worry about that. But the word animal is derived from the ancient Greek word anima, which simply means soul.
Oh.
I love that. Yeah, so I want to talk about this horse. I'm just waiting for it to pop up here. It's a War Horse Memorial and Hero Horse number 22, Sergeant Reckless, that was his name, introducing Sergeant Reckless, a small mongoloid breed mare with a racing background in her native country who became a national hero and the pride of the United States Marines. She was purchased at the age of 5 for $250 from a young Korean boy who needed money to buy his sister an artificial limb. That's so sad. So the United States Marines bought this horse during the Korean War to carry ammunition for the 75th Recolides Rifle Platoon. During the Battle of Outpost Vegas in March 1953, she made 51 trips up to the gun sites, most of the time by herself, and carried more than 9,000 pounds of ammunition on her back. Wounded twice, she never stopped. She also evacuated wounded and dead from the battlefield and quickly earned the love and respect of all the Marines who served with her. In the 1990s, Sergeant Reckless was named by Life Magazine among America's top 100 heroes. She was trained to step over communication cables, get down when there were incoming fire, and to ignore the sounds of the battle. Sergeant Reckless was promoted to Staff Sergeant Reckless in 1959 in honor of her war efforts, and she returned to the United States to live out her days at Camp Pendleton. Yeah, she died in 1968. Although Sergeant Reckless has been recognized with bronze statues at both Camp Pendleton, California, and the National Museum of the Marine Corps, Virginia, it was the vision of James E. Ted Bassett III, a Marine Corps combat veteran of World War II, a former president and chairman of the Kenlin Association, that she be memorialized at the Kentucky Horse Park. She has had books written about her and even a song dedicated to her. We understand that Reckless, who received two Purple Hearts, was a colorful character in her own right and would hang around the mess hall and tents when not carrying ammunition for the or soldiers. She was a fan of beer, pickles, pancakes, and she was called by some America's great war horse. Isn't that a fantastic story? I love that. So Cher.
I want to hear the song, Wendy.
I don't know the song. Oh. I don't have the song, and I have no idea. Now, the next story, how much time do I have left? I can't tell.
About 4 minutes.
Okay, plenty of time. So this this next animal that I'm going to be talking about, whose name is Cher Amy, the pigeon that saved the Lost Battalion. It was a pigeon. Many of us have heard of the Lost Battalion and know some of its history. What is not commonly known is the role of a remarkable pigeon named Cher Amy, that this little bird became one of the greatest heroes of World War I. Cher Amy was one of almost 600 carrier pigeons employed by the U.S. Army Signal Corps during the First World War. Carrier pigeons were invaluable in spite of the advances in communications technology during the war. Radios were not as reliable since they were they were large and still bound by delicate wires. It also was not always possible to lay new wires quickly and often could be extremely dangerous. While not necessarily a popular form of communication, pigeons did prove a reliable one. The average homing pigeon, and I didn't know this, can fly approximately 50 miles an hour, making them a quick method of communication. Still, these pigeons often prove popular targets to enemy gunfire despite their speed. In fact, German machine gunners were trained diligently to both spot and kill these birds with their deadly MG-08s, which could fire over 500 rounds per minute. Pigeons could also have very risky ways to communicate because if a pigeon was shot down, right, the message could get easily intercepted by the enemy forces. So they had to be really be careful about this. It was during the battle of 1918 where the carrier pigeon was finally recognized for its valiant efforts. On October 2nd, 1918, American soldiers from the 77th Division were pushed into the forest and became trapped behind German lines on the slopes of a hill. Cut off from reinforcements and supplies, roughly 550 men from the 306th, 7th, and 8th Regiments under Major Charles Witzi held their ground against the far larger German forces for several days. Far beyond radio range, the only way the Americans could communicate with their own lines was via carrier pigeon. However, it did not take long to realize that the skies were as dangerous as the ground. Trapped in a horrible meat grinder of machine guns and rain, the Lost Battalion held their ground against vicious German attacks. On October 4th, American heavy artillery started to bombard the Lost Battalion's position on accident, killing 30 men as they were held the line. Major Whitney and his men watched the bird after bird fell out of the sky, torn apart by the German fire. With supplies running out and casualties mounting up, the major desperately sent out his last pigeon, Cher Amy, into the American lines with a note that simply read, "We are along the road parallel to 276.4. Our own artillery is dropping a barrage of directly on us. For heaven's sake, stop it." So finally, Cher Amy, the last pigeon, went and they got the message and they were saved. So that's what I want to say about that. So wonderful little horse and a pigeon that saved many, many people. And this also, this little bird also got memorialized. So
awesome story. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.